2023 was a heck of a year, wasn't it, Allie?
Was an amazing year. It was our first full year of podcasting together. We're like a year and a half into this endeavor, but 2023 is the full year. So on this year's review, end of the year celebration, I'll actually have something to say about the year of episodes. Last year, you know, the first half, it was like, I listened to it, but I wasn't a part of it. It's a different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. 52 episodes. If we're one a week, that's what we did.
Yeah. Which means we're like over 75 together total.
Yeah.
And this year we hit 300, your 300th, like the podcast 300th episode. There's much to celebrate in 2023. But before we kind of like really dive in, I want to go back to, I'm like pulling this out of the hat. Peter doesn't know everyone what I'm about to share. So when we were having conversations to set the stage for 2023, you know, we were like, what do we want this year to be about? What do we want to focus on? And so I like looked back, and the whole year was around the power of presence. Mm-hmm. And our goal was to go and learn from people inside and outside of the system and be present to those experiences and then bring those to the people. So with that in mind, Peter, how do you think we did?
Looking at the list of people that we have, and I wrote them all down because there's a lot. I mean, on average, we'll do 26 to 30 people, I think, on a podcast per year. So there's not a lot of room for everybody. Yeah, I think we did pretty well. That's the short answer. Just kind of looking at these people, there's a lot of amazing people inside, outside of education, all around learning, all around, like, you know, lifelong learning. We went from students to teachers to business owners to entrepreneurs to amazing, you know, kind of school creators and
lawyers.
Yes, we actually got legal, authors, coaches. I don't know if we're missing anybody.
Everyone that we are, but the range and depth that we covered is incredible. So if you're, and has been for the entire length of the podcast, but this year in particular, we kind of organically would have conversations with people that mm-hmm. would then spark kind of like our next chapter of episodes. So, mm-hmm. you know, a little behind the scenes, we sometimes record like an episode or two, and then there's a week, but then other weeks we will record like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think we've recorded in 1 week. And they're usually grouped because it's like around a topic. Like, for example, we kind of go back to the beginning of 2023. We started the year with Robert Pepo and Nate Kleberg. Yep. And we were looking at like economic development and kind of like entrepreneurship. What does that look like outside of the school, inside of the school? And we recorded those, you know, kind of close together to then like bring that together. And then our next series of educators and students came from those conversations. Mm-hmm. And then we went into like AI. Yep. And that came out of the conversations previously. So there's been this like thread. We do intentionally kind of listen to what's going on and be on the bubble for the time of year and like the topics. But then there's also like this thread that me and you care about crafting in mm-hmm. terms of like, well, where does the conversation go next?
Right.
And that only happened because I think we met our goal of being really present in the podcast with those that we talked to this year. And I don't know, the growth and kind of trajectory of us podcasting together and just the podcast as a whole, I feel has really evolved in a beautiful space throughout this year, just from setting the stage with that presence for 2023.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, if you're kind of following along, we're going to kind of timeline this whole podcast, because you mentioned the people or what the topics and the people in education. We talked to Olga Payne after Nate and Robert, and then we went to Kareem Price, and then Caden Ketchman, love Caden, and Dan Bevan, a couple of our previous like amazing students. And then the AI piece was really in there, where we jumped in with Uzair Hussein and Adam Kozel, who are two entrepreneurs. You know, just their stories of where they're going and how they're meeting. And, you know, we talked with Janaya Iqbal as well. And that was kind of that rest of the AI. That's when AI was kind of blowing up. All of a sudden, it got really, really like heated in the spring, early spring. And people were all, you know, all in, like, what's going on? What's happening? And then you saw a lot of talk around that too. And that kind of evolved out of, what Dan and Caden were saying as well. Like, do I use this? Do I not use that? That came up in those conversations. So yeah, I really liked how we kind of bounced into a hot topic. It's still hot right now, but it seems to be kind of like, you know, people are, I don't know, I don't hear too much about it as a deficiency. Now a lot of people are coming out of, okay, this is a tool. How do we handle this? How do we help people create with that? Which, another shout out, in spring break, when my family and I, we went to New York, and Janaya picked us up at the airport, if you remember. So that was just, amazing. I love that. It was so cool. Now actually, Janaya, if you're listening to this, I did pay it forward, and I picked up a person that I connected with here and before while he was flying into Chicago, and took him into the city. So it's a great thing, you know. So Janaya's a cool guy.
He is cool. I mean, he like offered that like off the cuff, like after the podcast. He was like, when are you coming to New York? And yeah. I can pick you up, and yeah, I can give you a tour. So it's like, that was super awesome that yeah. kind of happened. And you know, those discussions that we had with AI did lead us into kind of like, well, then what skills do people even need? You know, if AI and software and technology is, you know, this magic bullet, which I don't think it is, but you know, that's how it's being perceived, then like, well, what do students need to know? And what are the skills that we should be leaving them with come the end of school? And there's a whole bunch of people trying to figure this out. You're one of them, because you met Stephanie Short through the Durable Skills. I don't know if it was like a committee or a consortium of people, but right, like that was kind of, you know, parallel to our conversations, but it really lent itself into, okay, well then like, what should we even focus on? And kind of gave us into CTE and skills and trade type discussion, which we have carried in many different ways, but that's kind of like where that evolved from. You know, because technology, if it's there and it can do so much, then like, what's the purpose of school? What's the purpose of education? So I think a lot of people, that's like a continuing swirling topic. But it kind of came out of the AI topics we dove into.
Yeah, I like the Durable Skills America Succeeds. And actually, that's where, you know, our third to last podcast with a guest was Sylvester Chisholm. And that's where actually I met him. I was actually in Kansas City at the National Business Education Association conference. We were at the conference, but then I was on another call with America Succeeds, amazing group of educators and such, and then met Sylvester, which we'll talk about later. But then, you know, kind of out of that and learning some things, and you know, we there's pushback, there's conflict with AI in education, and then we kind of like rolled it into conflict. What is it good for? Absolutely everything. Which was Gwen Hill, Dr. Gwen Hill. I love her. I mean, she really understands how to actually bring conflict in as an opportunity to grow. So I really like that podcast as well. What about you?
We needed that podcast to kind of reset, because it can be so easy to kind of talk about hot topics and meet these people that are trying to solve real problems and then feel kind of buried under the weight of them.
Yeah.
And it was refreshing to be like, okay, well, you're going to need conflict to make change. And I think that podcast really set the stage for many of our episodes. We've referred back to that episode numerous times because it's so powerful what Gwen discusses on it. With you can't sidestep conflict, but you can learn how to work through it. And it's a really beautiful thing when you do. And it's kind of like, I feel like conflict and failure can be more synonymous. Like conflict doesn't have to mean failure, but like, it's okay to fail. And that quote unquote failure can come through a conflict, ultimately leading to a different resolution, which could be better than you even anticipated. Mm-hmm. There's so many times where I feel like I've failed at something and it changed the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. And this episode isn't even coming out yet. It's a 2024 episode, but we had it's okay to kind of go with the flow and, you know, let life kind of guide you.
Mm-hmm.
and have like your moral structure and North Star, so to speak, but kind of, you know, let life kind of let you flow. So that's a topic that we're going to continue to hit on a little preview there, but
mm-hmm.
It's definitely one that I think that episode was an anchor episode of 2023. And I think it will continue to be an anchor episode of the podcast just because of its power.
Yeah, 100%. And then we moved into Jackie. I love this one. Just a great conversation. She's a great fan as well. But if you remember Jackie talking about, you know, what is happening between like high school and college and, you know, those kind of conversations. She brought some heat in there in those conversations when we were talking about, you know, is this really the right thing to do for students? Are we really giving them ROI and such? And she talked through the struggles with that. What did you take from that episode?
Jackie is amazing, and I'm sure she's listening to this episode. Yep. So if you haven't connected with Jackie Termini, you need to. Mm-hmm. If you're in education at any level, because she has worked at like every level. And
she's got a doctor coming, right? Isn't she? Yeah.
She might even already have it.
Did it? I don't know. You reach out to us, Jackie, if you hear this, because I think that was like August, September.
Yes.
But, you know, doctoral things can go long, they can go short, so. But yeah,
I know. So she just has that kind of pulse on K-12 and then the connection to higher ed and what's kind of missing there. So that she kind of set us up for the trades, because if there's like this disconnect with the traditional higher education model, then like, okay, where should people be going? And then we splashed in with Derek Cameron in this great trades discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the summer, I'm just going to jump down, because we then later talked to Ken Midget, and that one was, we I think originally wanted it to go with Derek, and the timing just didn't work out, but
right.
We really did kind of go into this idea of what does it look like for people to work with their hands, and mm-hmm. what does it mean if we don't? I think that's the bigger question, mm-hmm. like learning about the lack of tradesmen and women mm-hmm. building anything and everything is a little terrifying. Fixing anything and everything is a little terrifying.
Right.
Side note, like here's just like one tiny little example that I think it just speaks to what is coming. So mm-hmm. my family owns this old vintage, beautiful, like oven, double oven. And then it has this like really great, like frying surface, like what you'd see in like a restaurant. It's like a restaurant level, like burners, and like you can make all these burgers and pancakes and stuff.
Nice.
Cause we run a bed and breakfast in a retreat center. So really we mm-hmm. have to have like this stuff. Well, one of the heating units on one of the ovens went out, and this is not a part you can replace. So, and like, because it's not manufactured anymore and it's not made, and there's no one out there that can like kind of, as far as we know, and there's all of this information online that says there's so many people that are out this beautiful piece of machinery that it could be made, but there's no one out there to make it. There's nobody who wants to make it.
Right.
So then it's like, but we have all of these getting older pieces that would work just fine. There was just one little piece that could be made and manufactured, or somebody who knew how to install it. Mm-hmm. Even a part of it is like, you can't even get people to come out and look at the stuff. And that's scary to think about if you're listening to this. Like, there's so much opportunity though, because literally look around your house and businesses and like, what are they using? Because that stuff will break. That stuff will need to be replaced, and that stuff will need tune-ups. And there's less and less people out there that can do it.
Yeah. And I also like, you know, obviously Derek and Ken are just, I mean, really, they broke the mold after those guys. But, you know, they were just like carrying people and understanding, like, you know, show what you know, really, which is kind of, it can lead into the trades thing. But it also kind of, you know, coming off of the AI thing, I think one of the things in the classroom that we've done in our business department is we have these conversations when we're coming up with new projects. And, you know, it really comes down to, can a kid just type this out on ChatGPT and like spill us some, you know, whatever it shoots out, or do they have to do something? And more we're kind of looking at that CTE model that Derek and Ken were relating to. And we actually went in a little bit deeper later on as well in the year. But then how can we get our kids to learn things hands-on? We talked about, you know, what you do in science, you know, doing the labs and such. And really we talked about like construction and math and those types of things. And we have those conversations now because of the podcast. And so, you know, for educators out there listening and trying to figure these things out, don't, you know, try not to fight, but try to create, find those opportunities. And, you know, again, another hint towards early 2024 coming up is any kind of problem is an opportunity, right? You guys will know who said that in a moment, next week. But you know, that those are kind of the things that I like. And then in between there, I mean, we went into kind of gaming and a little bit like, how can technology come in? We talked, and big shout out to somebody who sponsored us this year. We had Spike View, but we also had Propello, Amanda Bratton talked about, you know, what their platform's doing and how they can kind of mesh this gamification and different kind of curriculums to take a lot off of teachers' plates, but also make it engaging to where students don't just want to just spit back information at you. That was cool. And then obviously Elliot Mack with the gaming piece where I don't know if you've seen him on LinkedIn, by the way, and Elliot, good job, because he's like blowing up across Asia and a little bit into Europe now. Remember, he doesn't do anything in the United States, right? But the gaming industry and the educational gaming and teaming and that kind of learning arena is something that he is doing some pretty amazing things with.
it's coming in the partnership. I know he's working on like international, you know, gaming meetings and tournaments, and it's a place where technology and then community kind of come together. And mm-hmm. I like that work. You know, it's not trying to fight technology and be mad at it. It's like, how can we tap into something that the students already want to like use and be a part of and make it more educational and like also build relationships with real people rather than staring at your screen and,
right.
you know, consuming your potentially creating. I think there's a lot of opportunity for that kind of thing is like, how can you take the attention of young people that want to be engaged with technology and get them to be creating with it. And I think that's kind of a stepping stone to get people to realize like, oh, we're in community and we're doing this stuff with technology. And okay, well, like now what else could we do with it? So there's so much opportunity there with Elliot's work. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, now we're kind of into the summer months. And yep. So we did, you know, an end of the year recap. But then one of our favorite seasons on the podcast is mm-hmm. to bring past students. And this summer we got to talk to two of your, they had just graduated students, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're like fresh off of high school. And there's just this, you can't really replace that youthful, you know, if they say like there are a few moments in your life where you really open to change, and one of them is graduating high school. And so they're just like a perfect place to kind of have those discussions. Like it just ended. What did you think? And like, what are you looking forward to? And what are we missing? Because it's so fresh. So tell us a little bit more about those students and why you picked them.
Yeah, so Patrick Kowalczyk and Gabby Konopka, both are freshmen in college. They both went to college. Patrick is working so far on his physical therapy degree, and I think Gabby's still going into business, but maybe teaching. Remember, she was bouncing between those two. What's great is I've actually had students now reach back out to them, especially Gabby as an entrepreneur. Yeah, I think they were just, you know, basically saying, you know what, you get what you put into it, right? I was pretty surprised that, you know, they were both really kind of like, yeah, school can suck, you know. But, you know, I'm going to find the things that I'm going to do. And, you know, if you don't do them or you do them, it's up to you. They put a lot of accountability on themselves, I remember, in those conversations. And, you know, they were not, you know, they were privy to see people in the classroom who didn't do things and chose not to do things. And that bothered them. That bothered them a little bit. There was also, you know, some teachers that were, you know, very like checkboxy and not really like pushing students and things like that. So they kind of opened up that. So you can go back and listen to that. But there was a thank you. It was last year that I never really it made me think about those two. And this young lady, I don't want to say her name because she's a minor and she's she doesn't know I'm reading this, but she's a sophomore now, I believe. But we get these thank yous here. So I'll kind of show on the, you know, their big thank you things. And she was like, you inspired me to stay less on my phone and truly go for a life goal. And then she apologized, which was very interesting. And I heard this from Gabby and Patrick as well. And we're going to come up. There'll be a little bit of an accountability one that we'll be throwing out there in 2024. But she's like, I'm sorry that you had to deal with the kids who don't care and chose to skip the mock interviews. It was a great life experience that prepared me for a real world, right? Like, I'm sorry, right? That's interesting. I just find that very interesting. She's aware enough that she has empathy, and I'm hoping that more students, you know, as we're coming in, and we talked about, you know, again, a 2024 guest talks about like the humanistic approach to education, but you see these things and all of these students, even the one that I read the thing, are very wonderful students, maybe not all academic, but I think Patrick and Gabby brought that as well. So I just thought that was interesting. So just a little bit of a hint of a couple of topics that we'll be talking about in 24. And then we brought Malcolm Crawford in. Second time, I think he was on number 25 or 50. I can't really remember. Just blowing up on the Twitch world. And now, by the way, he's at over a million streams and such. So just watching him on Instagram right now and TikTok is pretty amazing. Malcolm was just like, this isn't for me. You know, he went to college and he figured out this wasn't for me, and he was living for somebody else, which I hear a lot. And he kind of set it up, you know, he kind of talked a little bit about later on in college, when he was just hitting a wall, and it just really wasn't his why. It wasn't what he was really interested in, or his motivation lacked when he was doing one thing, but when he started another thing. And he also had, and again, another 24 thing, a parent that was okay with, all right, well, you know, I'm going to support you until he started making the cash doing what he does. But I thought Malcolm's a great, great guest.
It was a good kind of transformation episode to be like, okay, we had the students fresh out of high school. They're buzzing with, you know, excitement for the next chapter. And then it's like, that next chapter may not look like what you thought. And Malcolm really showed us how to kind of go with your gut and also, you know, put some real work into stuff you're passionate about and see where it can go. There's nothing better than that. He loves what he does right now. And he's so open to shifting. And he talks about like the different pieces that he kind of grew into, and he let go of some things that wasn't making as much money. Go back and listen to that episode, because he just really shows you that it doesn't have to be so linear. And it's, if you're really not feeling the path that you are on, you feel like you're kind of living for someone else. You know, your late teens, your early 20s, I mean, really any point in time, but at that time in particular, it's okay to do something for you and to be like, this is who I actually am. And to recognize that at his age, and to kind of go down the path that he did, is super inspiring. I think more young people will feel like they can make those choices if they are empowered to do that. And so there is this big talk about social emotional learning, and we really felt that pull. You know, we were talking to these students, I remember, and being like, they were doing things in school to check the box, and because they had the support or intrinsic motivation to do so. But what we didn't hear a lot about were the efforts on, you know, how are they doing emotionally and socially, and where does that piece fit in the school day? And so we brought on Dexter Spitz to have some really interesting conversations around the heart of education and where the heart should be. And that was a really inspiring episode to kind of kick off our fall season of the podcast.
Yeah. Dexter, what I've done, you know, I went to one of his gatherings and such, and it's been tough to get to other ones just schedule wise. What he really brought for me in the classroom was the conversations, a lot of conversations with students. Instead of getting really angry and like, why are you not doing that, your work? You just start conversations. Here's what I see. Is this what you're feeling right now? What's going on, man? And really, like, I have seen, you know, leaps and bounds in the students actually kind of grasping the concepts, especially in business, that we're learning, that would normally wouldn't, because, you know, you just get angry and you know. And so, you know, some of the things is like, you know, just kind of, you know, being in nature, understanding yourself. There's a lot of like really just, you know, hearing people, right? Hearing what's going on with people. I had great conversations with students this year, especially in the fall semester, because of what Dexter has taught me. And in life in general, just kind of like, hey, you know what? It doesn't have to be bam, 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 go, go, go. Relax, talk to people, but more importantly, listen. And, you know, as much as, you know, I want to push students to do their best, I've found a little bit different angle. And, if you want to go back to, you know, what Dexter Spitz is saying in that, as a leader in general, education or not, he's got some great, kind of methods and things that he uses, but he also talks about himself, right? Like he was really, really well known in the music industry. And it's kind of like Malcolm. He wasn't happy, until he started helping others and just kind of getting into his flow. So, I like that. And then, we have, the amazing Andy Pass. What is the quote from Andy Pass that we've been using over and over, the passism? You remember?
Imagine,
right? Mm-hmm. I love that.
The way he said it just kind of put us into a different state for the beginning of the school year and kind of looking at education in ways like, what can we imagine, mm-hmm. and what can we do? And so it was kind of this preemptive celebratory episode that led us into a big milestone on the podcast, mm-hmm. which was the 300th episode.
Yeah.
And we brought back guest number one.
Yeah.
Derek Griffin.
Yeah.
Who you not only, you know, have known for many, many years, but your own relationship has evolved with him, and you guys do some LinkedIn lives now and
yep.
have like these ongoing conversations, which is so cool because one, how many podcasts make it to 300 episodes plus? The stats are very low. And then that you're still in contact with like your first guest and the relationship there has evolved. And I mean, nobody can throw it down like Derek.
Yeah.
The way he speaks, it's incredible. It's for sure an anchor episode. And to compare, it's like, you can't compare like who he was on episode 1 to 300, but it's just like, it's incredible. You're just like, your jaw's on the floor. I mean, he was incredible when he was in high school or right after, but it's like to see the personal growth and development, and him just taking chances and the experiences that he had in high school that kind of set him up for where he's going. And it's like, not even the end. It's just like, he's just getting going. It's so inspiring. And like, when you think about imagine what's possible, and you look at someone like Derek, you can just see the power and potential of an educational system that like is set up for success. And it wasn't perfect. He talks about like challenges and everything, but he was able to make the most of his high school experience. And a lot of it was through many of the classes with you. So yeah.
Somehow, I don't know. I mean, he had some great musical mentors as well. I think, you know, it's interesting what the way I like those two, the 299 to 300 with Andy Pass talking about being imagining different things. And now I try to imagine what my students are going to be. Right. I really do. I think that's something that keeps you going as an educator. It's difficult because, and I even tell the students this, or we talk about this, is like, you know, a lot of this stuff that you're going to see, like you're seeing now, you can't connect the dots yet. Like it's hard to, and even for me, but like, as a teacher, I think one of the most amazing things that you ever do is actually see the growth of somebody, who has been in your courses, and now you're kind of watching them grow, but you're not only just watching, you're learning from them, and you're just soaking it in, because, you know, you're a part of that. But they took pieces from you, other educators, other people that they've been around, mentors, et cetera. And they are making things happen for real. And that is one of the most joyous things as an educator, as you know, seeing people do that later on down the road, and just, you know, creating those, like, those networking opportunities. That kind of led me to some of the things in the classroom that we're doing now, is we're having students, you know, connect on LinkedIn. They're building more spike views. We're trying to get them, you know, to say, hey, you know what, look, I'm here, you know, I'm still here. If you need something, it's going to be a tough world out there, but you know what, I'm here. So please, you know, don't be disconnected. And Derek is just like number one with that, which is great. And then, you know, what I love, and I just saw Sylvester post this as well, you know, the things he's also doing with students, giving them opportunities to travel, do business. Remember, he's talking about the coffee business, and then he was talking about traveling outside of the United States. And they just did a huge kind of thing over Thanksgiving break, and they were raising funds for students to get their passports, right? Like, I'm firsthand know what it's like to take students outside of this country, and it is an eye opener and it's a game changer. And Sylvester was doing that as well, working with Global CTE, bringing in these really great programs, entrepreneurship programs, CTE programs to schools. One's right up here, Evanston High School in Illinois, that's a little bit in my area. So I just liked him as 301 going into, you know, this is what we're doing. These are the amazing things that we can do. So Sylvester's killing it right now.
He is. And he brought up, you know, these very involved, you know, community projects and buildings and stuff that the CTE work and that is happening, you know, whether it's internationally, like students are going and like understanding, like, where do the coffee beans come from and how are they, like, how do they get to your coffee pot, and like how eye-opening that is for students and really anyone. But it's so cool that the work that he's doing is helping at that level. And we had been having conversations about all these amazing opportunities that students are having. We're like, how do we make that work? And if you are someone who wants to do something, the red tape can feel overwhelming. And like, so we circled back into this, like, okay, well, you're going to have to approach it. But then we needed to talk to a lawyer, because at some point it's like, how are we supposed to help all of you listeners by bringing all of these awesome things? And you're thinking to yourself, but like, how would I even legally, you know, go through that? And so I think I shared this a little bit, but just, you know, in case you don't listen to the episode, is like, I went on a LinkedIn hunt to find Patricia. And what a gem of a human being, who then also, so Patricia Morgan is our educational lawyer, who like shared so much insight. And we really should back and pick her brain some more. She'll come back. Like, we have so many more questions, but her partnership or like connection with Mike Schloff, who is, he basically brings woodworking into school districts that don't have shop classes, don't have like the same kind of opportunities that maybe other school districts have, and showed us what's possible legally, and he kind of how he navigated that, how he continues to navigate that to have woodworking for all or woodshop for all in his program. But that is for me an anchor episode, because it just shows you what's possible, and like, you know, where there's a will, there is a way in education, and the red tape will somehow magically go away. I mean, like, if you can meet the standards and kind of check the boxes and get community on board, the sky is the limit. And so it kind of did show us, you know, how these organizations and people and educators in and out of the system are getting things done, and they're not letting, you know, the big scary, your child could get hurt, and so we can't move forward on this, that some school districts have, to finding school districts and innovative people and leaders that are finding that work. And I mean, that's the kind of school districts that I know I would want to be a part of, that I'm sure parents want their children to be a part of, and they are out there. So it's like, that is what is really, really cool. And I think there's never been a better moment in time where you can kind of shop school districts. If you have the ability, you know, if you work from home, or, you know, you want to find this awesome community and school districts that are doing unique things, you can find them in different states, and maybe not like have to like totally relocate across the country, but there are opportunities for kind of giving your student a non-traditional model that is rocking and rolling already. And if you're also wanting to bring that to your school district, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are already people doing it. And so that's one of the things I love most about the podcast, is being able to hear about this awesome work and seeing how kind of interconnected it is. And then also like points where it could be more connected, and building that awareness, and then also resources for those who listen to this podcast and want to disrupt education and they don't know where to get started. It's like, we have 300 episodes of where you can get started.
Yeah. Plus. I like, and just to add to that, I like how Patricia kind of, you know, she looked at obstacles, not as obstacles, but like, there's pieces of a wall, but there's gaps in it. And I really like how she laid it out, because I was like, yeah, but, and then she was like, but you can go and do it this way. And really, you know, what Mike is doing is amazing. You know, little or no training for educators, getting kids to do hands-on stuff, really just working it, you know, backwards through a model that is kind of backwards, so then it would be forwards. I don't know, but yeah, Mike, you know, go back to that episode, check out his business as well. There's pretty amazing things that they're happening. And then we get to the, you know, I randomly meet Michael Beyer on a Facebook group, and we're talking about teachers leaving the profession and or finding side gigs and things like that. And, you know, it was funny, because it was a week after we did this episode. I mentioned, somebody came up to me who's a 20 plus year teacher at my school that I work at. And she was just like, ah, man, I don't know. I'm trying to think, you know, I'm going to check out at the 20, get my minimum retirement and move on out and do something. I just don't know what. And I was like, I got a book for you. She's like, I don't like to read. And I'm like, well, it's on audio. So, you know, but Nayeli and Mike with the book Pencils Down, again, just kind of it's really refreshing to hear these things and these stories that are real, they're authentic. And I think, you know, kind of like what we started at the beginning of the year, just trying to, you know, uncover what is happening in education from all angles. It's not all these great things. And I think we make a point in Disrupt Education is we don't want to sit around and just complain, but we do want to reveal some of the challenges. And you work with Patricia, she'll just uncover the challenges and say, okay, let's try this, which is great. But, you know, it's not, I don't think this is a, you know, a downer at the end of the year. I think it's just an authentic look of, you know, what is happening in the stories that people are telling, and then how you can use your skills either in education, either in the industry or another industry. So it kind of gives you an option of, after this whole year of podcasts and talking about everything that, you know, anywhere from businesses to CTE, to going to college, to, you know, conflict, to stress and SEL, if you like it or not, understand your skill sets. And I think Pencils Down really, really kind of uncovered how the teachers are feeling in all of this when it's too much. And I really just like this book. I mean, I've said it's probably the most authentic education book that is out there today. And that's kind of big. I read a lot.
You are a big reader, and usually have like a different
book. Got all my books back down there and everything. I don't know.
All of them, mentioning them. And it does speak to, I mean, a recommendation like that from Peter he doesn't give it often. He does recommend books, but not with that kind of like, yeah, listen to it or read it. It's a great gift to yourself following probably what has been a very hectic end of the year. Yeah. We did end the year with a few topics. We spliced in my journey of substitute teaching and some kind of like how to end the year with curiosity. And, you know, it's just been such a fun way to end what has felt like this evolving but really beautiful space that we're in with the podcast, where we look at disruption as a positive. Mm-hmm. And even though that word can feel, you know, you can have feelings about it, positive, negative, otherwise, it really has this, I think disruption brings hope, because you're like okay with change and moving forward. If you're not in that headspace, it's probably isn't the space for you, because that would be like pulling my hair out. If like, you know, if you are just checking the box and everything, this is a space where we are looking to be like, why is that box even there? What was that box doing there in the first place? And so very excited how we're going to open 2024. It's going to be spicy.
Yeah.
Not going to want to miss it, but just taking the time to kind of celebrate what this year has been to us. And I feel like it's just like a great way to end the year. And, you know, it's like Boxing Week and nobody knows what day it is and what time it is. I hope you're enjoying some well-deserved time off when you're listening to this. You're cozying up with hot cocoa, which is like my favorite thing this time of year. Extra marshmallows. And there's a fire. And if you're in Florida, well, I hope it's warm.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, kind of to cap that off, you know, it really is a year if you're looking for inspiration. It's funny because this is, you know, I did start this out as what's wrong. But we really found a lot of inspiration. I think we hit our goals this year, Allie. And, you know, go back and listen to different pieces of these amazing guests. And, you know, if you are wanting to be a guest, there is a form in the notes of our podcast to fill out. Like I said, there's lots of people. Be patient with us. There's millions of people in education. We have a few that get chosen through a process. But we appreciate all our listeners. Definitely want to thank Propello and Spike View again this year. You guys have helped us out. If you want, you know, we're always willing to do some sponsoring for the next year in 2024. We have some of those things coming. We've got a lot of interesting things. So final thoughts on 23, Allie?
You haven't subscribed yet. Subscribe. If you're in education and you want to make changes, reach out, tell us what you're doing. And also, if you're, you know, a company or organization that is doing this work and you want us to share your work, consider being a sponsor of the podcast, because you're going to reach more people that way. And the bigger our network is, the bigger your network is. And it's like, this podcast continues to grow and like people are reaching out so much to like be on it. And it's just like to us, like this, you know, this place to have these amazing conversations, but it is a growing platform. And so if you want to get in on it before it completely blows up, because it's going to happen, this is just your warning.
Yes.
To get in the boat before it takes off. So
I like
2024,
it.
We're coming for you.
Yep. I love it. Well, happy new year, everyone. Happy holidays. Next year is going to be amazing. Stick with us, share us out with a couple of people. And trust me, Allie brings it. I've enjoyed this year. Thank you so much, Allie, for an entire year. It has made it a lot easier and a lot more informative, as a matter of fact, bringing you in. Here's to many more. Happy New Year again, everybody. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrosser. Thanks again for hanging out with us in 2023. We'll see you in 2024. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co. Or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrosser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.